I'm Jodie Walmsley, author, keynote speaker, and happiness expert. I'm talking to you today from the Simply Laughter Online Summit. My next guest is Sue Carter Ansari. Now, Sue has had an amazing journey, and she's going to be talking to us about how she got through some really difficult times using laughter. She'll talk about how she's using laughter in the lymphatic system, and then about her new program called Joy Fit. It's a wonderful, inspirational story. Enjoy.
Hi there, Sue. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad that you've taken the time. I really appreciate it to talk to us today. And where are you talking to us from?
I am in Palo Alto, California, USA.
That is awesome. I love what I'm doing at the moment because I'm speaking to people from all over the world and just hearing their wonderful stories. So thank you for taking the time. So can you start off from the very beginning? Because actually, I think it was quite a while ago that you found laughter yoga. So what got you started?
What got me started was actually very, very long ago, way back in the 90s. I had an adult foster care facility in Michigan, and I was always looking for some kind of activities for my elderly residents. And I don't even know back then how I mean, there was no such thing as Google for sure, but I don't know how I got on the internet. I have no clue. And I don't know how I found Laughter Clubs of India, but I did. And I printed out with those daisy wheel printers all of the information about how you're supposed to have a laughter session. And it was so complicated. I mean, it was this person stands here and you do this and you do that. And, you know, and I printed all this stuff out and I read it and I thought, my residents, most of them had Alzheimer's, and there was no possible way that I could get these people to do what I was reading. But I thought it was very interesting, and I had a to-do folder, and I folded up those printed instructions about the Laughter Clubs of India, and I put it in my to-do folder, and it sat there for many years. And about... I told you, I can't remember what year it was. I don't know if it was 2003, if it was 2004, if it was 2005, but I had left that situation because of a divorce, and he took my business. And so I remembered, and I was working at that point in time with Gilda's Club in Detroit, which is a support group for cancer survivors, but I was strictly working with breast cancer survivors in a program that was related to lymphedema. And because also I'm a registered nurse, but I'm also a lymphatic therapist. And so I worked with these breast cancer survivors, and I really wanted them to do deep breathing because all that we were doing was a lot of movement. And some of it was pretty serious movement, and there was no laughter at all. And I really wanted these breast cancer survivors to breathe more deeply. And if you just go through the whole deep breathing process, it's not always so easy and it's not very interesting and nobody wanted to do it. And then I remembered from my lymphatic training in Austria several years before that we were told that one of the easy ways to get people to deep breathe is to laugh. And if we could do nothing for our breast cancer survivors other than getting them to deep breathe or laugh, that's the best thing that we could do. And so all of a sudden I remembered my to-do file and I pulled it out and I see this Laughter Clubs of India. And I don't even think back then there was Google yet. So I still don't have any idea how we used to search for anything online. But I was looking for Laughter Clubs of India, and there were no Laughter Clubs of India that I could find. But I found laughter yoga. And so I clicked on it, and I read, and I thought, I think this has got to be the same thing. It sounds, you know, pretty similar to what I had read years before. Anyway, I noticed that there was going to be a training like in 2 weeks or so in Switzerland. And so I immediately emailed, and someone by the name of Dr. Madan Kataria said, oh yes, come. And so I wrote back and I said, well, I'll see. And I honestly didn't think that I would go to Switzerland. But I decided to look for cheap tickets to Switzerland, and I found a round-trip ticket for $400 back then from Detroit to Zurich. And so I thought, okay, I'm going, and I went. And anyway, and that's how I got initially involved in laughter yoga. But I have to tell you that I got to Switzerland and thought the majority of those people there were totally crazy. No experience with laughter yoga. I didn't know. And I thought, come on, I'm not going to laugh for no reason. This is crazy. And he, you know, at the beginning of the class, he went around the room and asked all of us why we were taking the training. And everybody had all these great and wonderful things to say. And they'd all had laughter yoga experience and they knew what they were talking about. And he comes to me and he said, and why are you here? And I said, because I want my breast cancer survivors to breathe more deeply. Is it anything else? And I said, no. They go, are you sure there's nothing else? I said, no, that's it. And so anyway, that's initially how I got into the whole situation. But I was shocked. I was truly, truly shocked in Switzerland to see that about half of the class were, you know, MDs. There were three of us there from the US and, you know, the rest from all over the place. But these doctors were just rolling around on the floor laughing their heads off, and I could not get over it. I was like, what in the heck have I gotten myself into, you know? It's really, really crazy, but I felt so much better, you know, and that was back then. I think it was either a 7 or 10 day training. I can't even remember, but longer than what it is now, the teacher training. And I felt fantastic when I left. So it was a really good experience. And I came right back and started working with the breast cancer survivors, added laughter to the movement program, and it was perfect. They loved it.
That's awesome. And you actually were the first lady to do laughter yoga in the States.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So whatever it was, and like I said, I don't remember whether it was 2003, 4, or 5. I can't remember anymore. But way back there, yes.
Wow, that's okay. That's a long time. So you have had a lot of experience. I'd like to touch on a story that you briefly mentioned to me now, if you don't mind to share with everybody, is about just how laughter helped you get through a tough time.
Right. Yeah, it was a very tough time. And I left the training, and that truly was what I went there for, was to just get my breast cancer survivors to breathe more deeply by using laughter. I had absolutely no intention of ever teaching any laughter yoga classes whatsoever. I had no intention of doing anything at that point in time. I know that class was in May of whatever year it was. And in May of whatever year that was, I had just taken out a life insurance policy, a really large life insurance policy, because the only thing that I could plan for my life at that point in time was just how do I get rid of my life? And suicide was the only option as far as I was concerned. And so, oh, I know, it had to be 2005 then, because it was 2007. That was the date. So I'd taken out that insurance policy in March of evidently 2005. March of 2007 was my suicide date. And I just, you know, I wasn't working back then. And so basically, the only thing that I was doing was three times a week, an hour, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I would go to Gilda's Club and meet with my ladies, and we would do movement and laughter, and that was my life. You know, I didn't do anything else. And my brother actually at the time was working in my house, and it was at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I would just absolutely have to drag myself around, and I keep saying, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. And it was so weird, because it was like 5 minutes into the program, I start feeling so good. And I just, you know, it didn't make any sense to me. And I'd come home, you know, I'd be home by 11:30. And every time, I mean, I don't know how many times my brother said, what did you do there? Because you look like a different person. Every time you come back from whatever you're doing, you look fantastic. And I said, I don't know, but I feel really good. And, you know, and then I would sink back into my depression, blah, 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 on and on. But it was in November of 2006. So a year and a half after the training, all of a sudden, I don't know what, it just hit me one day. I got up and I thought, I'm not thinking about suicide. You know, why? What's wrong with me? Why am I not thinking? You know, it's like, what in the heck? I'm not thinking about killing myself. You know, why am I not thinking about this? And, you know, it just, it took me a while to figure it out. And then I knew what it was. It was because I was doing this laughter, this deep breathing, you know, three times a week for a year and a half. And all of a sudden it changed everything. And that was the end of it. I sat down that day and I emailed Madonna and I said, okay, here's the rest of the story. And this is what you've done for me. And I can't believe it. You know, it's just like, I can't believe it. And I have never, I mean, I still get depressed, but I have never gotten to that level ever again. And, you know, and then I started thinking about the whole physiological reason for that. And it's just that, you know, you keep engaging your diaphragm and you engage the diaphragm. And what happens when you engage your diaphragm, you know, it automatically fights all of those other steroids in your body that are not good. And everything changes. And that's what happened to me. You know, everything just changed, but it took three times a week, an hour, you know, so 3 hours a week for a year and a half, and all of a sudden everything was different.
Wow. So that's a powerful story. And, you know, I know that there's so many people out there battling with mental health issues and depression, and that they don't know where to turn. And I know that it changed my life because I was also going through depression, not to the same extent, but I thank you so much for sharing that, because I really know that it can make the difference, as you know. So where you started with that, where did it lead you on to next? Where did you go from there?
Where did I go from there? I just kept taking one course after another. You know, laughter was always, you know, basically the core of everything. You know, but I did, I took raw food chef training. So I'm a raw food chef, and I, you know, I did meditation training. I did mindfulness training. I did, you name it, I did it. Anyway, but I kept working with breast cancer survivors. I did that for about 6 years, and then I got breast cancer. And then everything changed again. And that was a pretty interesting situation also, because you know, when I was working with the breast cancer survivors, one of the first questions they would always ask me is, when was your cancer? And I was very kind of arrogant about it, I think, when I think of it now, because I always thought, I'm too good to get breast cancer. There's no way. This is not going to happen to me. And, you know, and they'd ask me and I'd say, oh, no, I don't have breast cancer. No. But then when it happened, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And interesting thing is that during my surgery, before the surgery, I mean, I was laughing with everybody because I think it was the medication too. You know, it was like that morning they gave me the medication and then they started, you know, doing all these crazy things to me. And, you know, I started laughing with the one technician and I couldn't stop laughing. I was laughing all the time and I didn't get out of the recovery room and go home until late that night. And my ex-husband actually was with me and he was a surgeon and he kept saying, don't you have any pain? And I said, no, don't you have, are you sure you don't have any pain? I go, I have no pain. And honestly and truly the whole time after the surgery, nothing. I mean, I have no clue if it was all the endorphins I was pumping out because of all the laughter. I have no idea, but I literally had to take nothing for pain after that surgery. And, it was kind of weird. But anyway, so what happened after my breast cancer surgery is that I just didn't want to go back and work with breast cancer survivors. I just did not want to do it at all. And, so I didn't. And that was my surgery was in 2008. And I moved from Michigan to Florida in 2013. So 5 years. And a friend that I had trained, she's a nurse practitioner who lives in Florida, and she had taken laughter yoga training from me. She had taken the raw food training from me. She had taken the lymphatic movement training from me. And she's down in Florida and she has her own lymphatic practice. And so I come down there and she said, called me one day and she said, Sue, I need you to do a training because the trainer that we had is sick and she can't do it. And, you know, we're supposed to do this. And I said, Ellen, I can't do it. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I can't do it. I can't work with breast cancer survivors. I just can't do it. And she goes, yes, you can. I said, I don't remember. She goes, what are you talking about? You don't remember. You trained me. And I said, I might have trained you, but I don't remember. I don't remember anything. And she said, no, you have to do it. Anyway, she was totally 100% insistent. And so I finally just gave in. And it was so weird because I went to that first class. Oh, the interesting thing is that I took all my training materials to Florida. I mean, I didn't know why I took all those training materials with me, but I took everything, whether it was laughter yoga, whether it was lymphatic training. I mean, all of it, everything, it all went with me. And so I had that to look back on. But I got into that first class and there were 12 women in the class. And I started asking them questions. I asked, the number one question is, did your doctor talk with you about how you can reduce the risk of more cancer? There was one woman in the group who said, you know, something had been mentioned about diet, but nothing else. The rest of the women, nothing. And I said, are you kidding? All of these years, I mean, they never said anything to me. And I was here at Stanford, you know, at one of the best cancer centers in the entire world. Nobody said a word to me about how I could reduce my risk of cancer. And, you know, I thought, well, surely these years have passed. Surely these women have heard something. You know, someone must have done something. I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, nothing's happened. This is crazy. And so anyway, it was like, again, I was 5 to 10 minutes into the class. I was so happy. I was like, yes, oh, great. I'm so happy I'm doing it again, you know, and this is just great and wonderful. And, you know, it was just such a really fabulous, fantastic experience for me because I didn't really know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And it was at that point in time when I was still in Florida that I thought, this is it. This is what I must do because I realized that nobody's talking to women about this. And, you know, like I said to you earlier, it's not that the program that I now do and that I now have isn't, it's not just for breast cancer. Yes, it is specifically for breast cancer survivors. However, it's just a wellness program for anybody. I mean, if we all did this, we would all be much healthier. But anyway, I just decided to combine all the programs that I had been involved with into one breast cancer survivorship program. And so that's what the JoyFit program is all about.
Yeah, so there you brought us to JoyFit, which is, I think, an amazing idea. Can you tell us a little bit more about JoyFit?
Well, you know, basically, laughter is as the foundation because for many, many reasons. But it's about, you know, it's about bringing more laughter and joy into our lives, as well as mindfulness and exercise of any kind. And did I say meditation?
No.
Okay, meditation and gratitude, and that's about it. Just everything all combined, and it's a 6-week program for breast cancer survivors, and then ongoing support for them.
That's awesome. And then you did mention it, even though you are doing it just for breast cancer survivors, you can adapt it and use it for any wellness program.
For any wellness program, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea because it is a mixture of so many different things and it's concentrating on putting those all together and having an overall well-being package, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, and it's, you know, I think that it just, what I decided, you know, was just to simplify everything as much as possible because I think sometimes we give too much information and then people get overwhelmed. And, you know, I was sitting with a lady talking one day and I had talked about several different things. And at the end, I said, do you have any questions or concerns? And she said, I'm so excited about broccoli. And I said, And she goes, broccoli can help reduce my risk of cancer. And I said, yes, it can. And then I thought, you know what? We really need to simplify everything, really cut all the fluff out and just get down to, you know, really specific little things that people can understand. Because honestly, if somebody throws a massive amount of information at me, I'm not going to remember most of it. But if I just talk about broccoli, you know, let's just talk about broccoli and laughter today.
And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so that's been my big goal, is to try to simplify everything as much as possible.
Yeah, at the moment, I think the world has just got so much going on. I know me personally, I've got so many things that I'm doing, and then sometimes I just go, oh, I wish I could just focus on one thing. So simplify is a very good point there. Yeah, and you actually came to the UK. Yep.
I did. And that was what? I'm so mixed up with time. I've moved too much lately. I don't know. It must have been 2014, maybe.
Okay. Sure. That's wonderful. And what kind of people attend your JoyFit?
Well, I had two people in that training, and actually they were both laughter yoga people. And I kind of think, I just feel like, you know, actually, I don't have a prerequisite for the program other than the fact that they must have some knowledge of laughter yoga. Even if it's a one-day course, they don't need to be a leader or a teacher, but they do need to have some background information, because I had this one woman and I talked about all this information. I mean, talked and talked and talked to her about it. She came to a training in Florida and then said, I can't laugh. I'm going, oh my gosh. I mean... You know, if you can laugh, this is not maybe the program you should be in. In fact, I refunded her money because I said, this is not going to work. You know, so I thought about it and I discussed it with Linda, and Linda was in the training in London. And I said, we both feel, you know, that if they're not willing to learn about the whole concept of laughter yoga, I can't possibly train them. It's not a possibility, you know? So that's the only prerequisite that I have, is that if it's just the one-day program, the introductory one-day program, that's fine. But they have to be willing to laugh. And they have to be, they just have to have, you know, the concept there. So that's the most important thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you can learn about movement. You can teach about movement. You can teach, you know, about meditation or mindfulness and diet. But it's something, as far as laughter is concerned, you know, you have to really know something about the whole concept of laughter and laughter yoga in order to do the program. So that's about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you're doing so many things with lymphatic laughter and helping with that. And you've even got a book coming out that you're writing.
Right. Lymphatic laughter.
Yeah.
I promise you it is coming. But, you know, like I said, when I was interested in it was because of the training that I'd had in Austria. And that Austrian training was in 2003. So trying to get my date straight. But I am a lymphatic therapist, and it's just so fascinating to me how, you know, if we do all of the right things, there's this wonderful wellness domino effect, you know, within our bodies. And, you know, for me, the most important thing was the deep breathing aspect of laughter itself. And just a little bit of information about that is that when we take a deep breath, or when we laugh, is the same thing. We automatically engage the diaphragm. And when we engage the diaphragm, all of a sudden it signals, you know, slow down. You know, your blood pressure while you're laughing might go up, but afterwards it's going to slow down, because as you've engaged the diaphragm, automatically it releases these hormones that just signals to your body, slow down, your heart rate's going to drop, your blood pressure is going to drop. It just happens automatically. And as far as the lymphatic system is concerned, as soon as you take a deep breath or you laugh, you create a negative pressure within the thoracic cavity. And with that negative pressure, what happens is that it just sucks in all this lymphatic fluid that otherwise does not have a pump like the heart, and it makes it go faster. And the faster the lymphatic fluid moves, the more lymphocytes we create. And the lymphocytes are the basis of our immune system. And so we have more lymphocytes to fight all of the diseases that happen, including cancer. And so I thought, this is a no-brainer. I mean, it's the perfect fit for, you know, what I was doing as far as the breast cancer patients in Detroit. So that's the story.
That's awesome. And I think it's so important to breathe. And I know I personally stop breathing as soon as I'm stressed, and to get that deep breath, to having all those benefits that you're talking about, it's really important. And I do love the idea that you mix everything together in your JoyFit program. And so, like you were saying, do you think that this is something that corporates could use at all?
I use it all the time. I mean, you know, I work now with Jewish Family Services, and I'm the home care supervisor for the peninsula here in the Bay Area. And everybody knows that I am the laughter person. And so I just, you know, I have one woman, one of my coworkers specifically, if she's had a really bad day, she just comes to my office and she goes, "Sue, I gotta laugh. Laugh with me." You know? So we just laugh. I mean, and I did this with before when I had my business, I mean, years and years ago, I went back to my business actually after the divorce, and I was managing it for a while. And, you know, I thought, oh, I'm gonna get all of my, I'm gonna get all of these residents to laugh. And I started, and that, I tell you, is something that doesn't necessarily work really well, because number one, you can't put them in a circle unless they're really high functioning elderly residents. But if they all have Alzheimer's, number one, they can't understand the thing you're saying. They can't hear most of them, you know. So I had my success with my residents one-on-one. And I mean, and literally, you know, I would hold their hands and I'd just say, "Laugh with me." And that didn't work either. I had to start laughing first. But almost always, as soon as I would start laughing, they would start laughing. And as soon as they would start laughing, it was just like this light bulb went on in their brains and their eyes lit up. You know, it was like this person who was totally blank with no expression whatsoever, they'd start laughing and it was just their whole face was lit up. But I also started and ended my staff meetings with laughter. And it had a major, major impact. When I went back to the business, you know, I inherited all the employees. They weren't people who I had interviewed and hired. And that was a very stressful situation. But I had one caregiver who worked nights. I just didn't like her at all. She was awful. I couldn't figure out what on earth she was there for, and I had no good reason to fire her just because I didn't like her. But anyway, I started doing this laughter thing, and there's one exercise that I like to do, which is, you know, greet one another as if they're a long-lost friend you hadn't seen for 10 years. And, you know, you put your arms out and you go, and I always, you know, greet them, "Hello, where have you been?" and hug them. Well, the first time I did that with this group, my employees, this woman was there, and I decided I targeted her first. This woman couldn't even put her arms around me. She couldn't hug me. She couldn't do anything. She just stood there, you know, deadpan, nothing. And I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this woman? Well, as it turns out, we just kept doing our meetings. She got great. <You know? laughs> She became a new person. It was really, really amazing. But the one thing about doing it at work, and I think, I mean, my situation was different because I was the boss, you know, and I could do it whenever, but the families would comment. The families would walk in to the facility and say, "What's happened here? Everybody's so much happier," you know, and that made me feel so good that, you know, the families could feel it, and that was so important. But one day I was especially, I don't know, somebody, some employee had done some stupid thing, and I was really, really furious. And my manager came up to me and she put her arm around me and she said, "You know what, Sue, we need to laugh." And we started laughing, and it was just like that broke everything. And I thought, this is the greatest thing, you know, to incorporate this into business life is fantastic, because the laughter just completely breaks everything. And it's been wonderful. And so I said, you know, now here I'm not working, I'm no longer self-employed, but I'm working with a great group. We see a lot of Holocaust survivors. I laugh with the survivors. And it's wonderful. I mean, I have a great time with everybody. You know, I go see them and I visit them and I laugh with them, and, you know, and that's the way life is. And furthermore, you know, then I have my coworkers who come and say, I need to laugh. And so we laugh. I laugh with them. So it's great. It's been fantastic.
That's awesome. I mean, I've seen it myself in corp, you know, where I've gone into a business and I've helped them laugh. And then I've seen them a few months later and they said, oh my gosh, it made such a difference when we had a bit of a tough time. And it really does. It just shatters that ice.
Yeah, it breaks down the tension. And it really, you know, I mean, I don't have a bad work environment, that's for sure. But it's just that we have a lot of stressful situations with clients. And, you know, like everybody's almost, most of them are over 90. And so, you know, there's all kinds of bad stuff that can go on. And it's, you know, it's usually not the clients, it's the caregivers, you know, that you're having these really tough time with caregivers. And I just, you know, I've felt even with one caregiver here that I've had the most difficulty with, you know, I finally just put my arm around her and I said, you know, I think we need to laugh together. And we started laughing, and it just really, it really did break the tension, you know. And I thought, you just have to sometime just, you know, get down to their level and just do something and not just be the boss all the time. And it really, really, really does improve everything as far as work is concerned. It improves everything as far as everything. But as far as the work environment, I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a great way just to bring the whole team together. You're on one, you've got one mission, and to get the job done and to be successful and to be happy. And I think that's lovely.
Yeah,
no, that's wonderful. You've shared so many wonderful stories, and you're going to give a free download of how the lymphatic system can actually benefit you.
I will, because I wasn't, and there was no sense in me going into any super detail, you know, with you today, but I will download, or I will send everything to you, and you will be able to understand it perfectly.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. I think that's going to be very valuable for the people that are actually watching. And I want to thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely chatting to you.
It's been wonderful finally chatting with you. And are you in London?
Yeah, I'm in London.
Oh, good. My daughter's there.
Oh, is she? Oh, great. So maybe you're going to come over here and visit?
I will, because I'm going to be a first-time grandma.
Yay! Maybe we can do a joy fit here.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There are several ladies there that I met that want to take the training.
Oh, awesome. Good. So we'll post your website so people can find out more about what you're doing, because you're doing your course in the States and you can bring it out anywhere to anyone that's interested. Wonderful. So we'll post all those things down below so everyone can find you and find out more about the wonderful work that you're doing. So thank you so much.
Oh, and you are so welcome.
Take care.
You too.
Yay! Bye-bye.